Recently, in a conversation with my supervisor, she stated that she is not respected and she has been called a liar behind her, even to her face. And she has heard that others have said that she doesn't know how to do her job. And she felt safe in confiding that with me because she felt that I would not go and spread it around with the other employees. Her preference was that the men, the older men, who as far as job experience, would talk about the positive things that go on in at the job, not the negative, as many of us are prone to do, to bring out all the negatives and make things worse than what they are. She stated that in her 30-plus years of working with the school system, she has never been confronted with the negative and the criticism and the ridicule as she is presently enduring. This involves employees that I work in the same building with, but we work in a different department. And when you experience something like that, it's not a peaceful environment to work in. A constant backstabbing, and even among each other, each employee. Our society has degraded into a disrespectful environment. There's no peace in our society today, even from the government all the way down to the local government and the people in the local community. And all of us understand that part of this problem is because we have drifted from God, away from God, and we have become a less peaceful society. Was there ever a time that any of us felt really at peace in our relationship with each other? Who was involved in that relationship? What positive things were we doing that enabled there to be peace between us and the other person? What did we do to make peace and begin to get along again? What steps might be taken next to bring a peace and a positive relationship? My title this morning is Peace, an Element of the Spirit of God. Here's a joke about peace. After a very long and boring sermon, the members file out of the church saying nothing to the preacher. Towards the end of the line was a thoughtful person who always commented on the sermons. "Pastor," he stated, "today your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God." The pastor was thrilled. "No one has ever said anything like that about my preaching before." He said, "Tell me why." "Well, it reminded me of the peace of God because it passed all understanding, and the love of God because it endured forever." From spotlightministry.org. The word peace appears 429 times in the King James Version of the Bible. The NIV uses it 230 times, and they substitute different words that makes to them make sense in the English language. The words that they use are safety, silent, quiet, rest, still, treaty, satisfied, ease, and fellowship. The subject of peace was covered in one of the recent youth lessons, and some of my comments will come from that lesson. True peace given by God begins with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as our Passover lamb. Through Jesus' sacrifice and our response to it, we have peace with God by removing the fear of God, fear of God's judgment because of sin. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Verse 6 of Romans 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. From another translation, if people thinking is controlled by sinful nature, the same verse, there is death. But if their thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. God made peace by using the blood sacrifice of his son on the cross. There was a time when each of us were separated from God. We were his enemies because of the evil we did. And we did this evil against him. As Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 states, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' very purpose for being is defined in Luke chapter 1, verse 77 and 79. Luke chapter 1, verse 77 and 79. Luke chapter 1, verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Why is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ able to give us true peace? When we repent of sin, we are keeping God's law and we don't have to worry about punishment. Our sins are forgiven at baptism. Of course, after we repented and have the laying on of hands of the minister and baptized, we don't have to worry about the penalty of death. We are given God's Spirit to help us do what we cannot do on our own. When God gives us his Holy Spirit, it is like a down payment on the kingdom of God. It gives us the peace of mind because of the hope for an eternal future. Christ gives us the example of being peaceful. In the Bible, where Jesus Christ used a miracle to teach us, or teach his disciples and others, the importance of peace. At the time of Jesus' betrayal at Passover, a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs came to arrest him. Here's what happened in Matthew 26 and verse 52 and 53. Matthew 26, verse 52 and 53. The verse above was where Peter pulled out his sword and cut the ear of the high priest's servant. But here's how Jesus responded to that incident. Put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Think of any situation or a situation where you have seen people respond in an angry manner. Or respond with anger to anger. For example, many of us have heard of road rage, how someone will cut off another person or will follow another person too closely. And they get out and start arguing, and nine times out of ten, one of them have a gun, and someone will be end up dead or seriously injured. Or people yelling and screaming at one another. Did responding in that manner, did it bring peace? Consider, or let's look at the story of David and Abigail, how Abigail's husband refused to help David, and he got angry and was ready to go destroy Abigail's husband's farm or his people. But she got wind of it, and she intervened and calmed the situation down instead of escalating it. In Proverbs 15 and verse 1, gives us another warning or another helpful hint to avoid escalating angry situations. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Another thing that happens at times in the workplace among men or women who are given instruction and don't have the authority. And often that happens when the boss is away, and we refer to that as when that happens, there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And sometimes in the work environment, whoever doesn't have the authority may tell you to do something. You wonder, are you telling me or are you asking me? Let's move down to verse 18 of Proverbs 15. Better is a little with fear of the Lord. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. From the Good News Translation, it states on the same verse, hot tempers cause arguments, but patience brings peace. The greatest peace, or the greatest way to peace, in Psalms 119 and verse 165, it tells us what peace will accomplish in our lives. Psalms 119 and verse 165, a familiar verse to most of us. Psalms 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. In other translations, it says nothing will offend them. That's a tall order for almost all of us. Because someone can say something that is derogatory or something demeaning, and if we are not careful, we can respond in an angry way. The greatest peace of all will come from the instruction of Christ and how to live a righteous life. Christ will teach nations how to live at peace and how to perpetuate peace. The model society he will establish in Jerusalem at his return will be so inspiring that representatives from around the world will come for instruction on how to enjoy the benefits of a godly life. We can read about that in Michael chapter 4 and verse 2. Michael 4 and verse 2. Michael chapter 4 and verse 2. Michael 4 and verse 2. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall the law go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In Psalms 72 and verse 7, reveals the final outcome of Christ's teaching in the kingdom of God. Psalm 72 and verse 7. Psalm 72 and verse 7. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. Literally, peace will prevail until the moon no longer shines. What a beautiful picture. Christ will one day soon return to the earth, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of an increase of his government, there will be no end. I'd like to cover three areas of peace: physical peace, emotional peace, and spiritual peace. Number one, physical peace. Peaceful relationship is the absence of war. We are told in Matthew 5 and verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. We are blessed when we can show people how to cooperate instead of competing or fighting. That is when we discover who we really are and our place in God's family. Part of being peaceful is when we are not fighting, arguing, angry, or upset with someone. But that alone does not define true peace. God expects us to have peace with those around us. This is the kind of peace that helps us to become children of God. As Romans 12 and verse 18 brings out, Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, we are told, reading from the NIV, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 11. Reading again from the NIV. Seek peace and pursue it. And that's a short quote from verse 11 of 1 Peter 3. It is not always easy to get along with other people. In my work experience, I've had supervisors that had what we call poor people skills or poor communication skills, and they would talk to grown adult men as if they were children, or they would say demeaning or derogatory things. And the way some people respond to that was they'd do things that were sneaky to get back at the individual, instead of going and talking to the supervisor's boss. But for me, if I'm living a Christian life, I have to respond in a different manner. Even though working with an individual is a difficult process. In the school system, if we want to transfer from one job to another, this is one of the questions that we are asked in an interview. We are asked, how do we handle difficult relationship with fellow employees? And of course, there's sometimes our ability to be hired is dependent upon how we answer that question. The second item, emotional peace. Even if we can get along with people and live at peace with them, there is another kind of peace that we need, and that is a peace of mind, an eternal peace, internal peace. We do not have peace of mind when we are worried, anxious, fearful, angry, feeling guilt, or stressed out. Jesus said on Passover night in John 14 and verse 27, John chapter 14 and verse 27, verse 27 of John 14. Peace I leave you. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus Christ was able to say this and have peace of mind, even though he knew he was going to suffer that night and die the next day. He further clarified that everything will not always be easy for any of us, but that when we believe in and trust and follow him, we can have peace of mind during bad times. As he tells us in John 16, turn over another page in verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. No matter what circumstances, what difficulties we face, if we trust God, he will see us through. The third area, spiritual peace. We can have peace in our relationship, and we can have peace of mind even in times of trouble. But the third kind of peace goes well or beyond that. Ultimately, the peace is found in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the hope of promise of the kingdom. In Philippians 4 and verse 7, it tells us what the peace of God will do for each of us. Philippians 4 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Verse 7 of Philippians 4. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Jesus Christ. And in John 14 and verse 27, another supporting scripture about peace. John 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. These verses refer to a peace that goes even beyond emotional peace of mind, that help us through our daily lives. This is the peace that comes from our relationship with God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. It comes from faith in God and a total belief in his plan of salvation and our part in it. What is the greatest key to peace? True peace of mind depends on attaining peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we try managing our lives on our own, it only brings frustration and confusion. We understand that God is not the author of confusion. We are instructed to do as Peter instructed us in Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in one sense of the word, could be called a game changer. I like to cite the example of a baseball team, our Tampa Bay Rays. If they would get three of the best players from the New York Yankees or the Boston Red Sox and maybe a pitcher, it would be a game changer. It would give them a more consistent winning record. And maybe they wouldn't win every game, but maybe it would change the outcome of a number of games. For God's Spirit to continue to be that game changer in our lives, we must stir it up. We have heard messages about stirring up the Spirit of God. And an example that I can relate to is I grew up in a rural area, and we had fireplaces and we had wood stoves. And when the fire died down, you take a stick or a rod and you stir it up, and so that the hot coals will be exposed, and you just throw some dry wood or some other dry article on there, and the fire would, you know, start up again. But if you threw wet logs on it, it would smother. And we understand that, and we are warned that we are not to quench the Spirit. In a sermon I heard yesterday from Mr. Randy D'Alessandro from the Chicago area, he related that he received a call from, he didn't say whether the individual was a minister or a member, but he's someone that he knew, someone that was his friend, that the friend made a comment that he felt that some of our brethren are bored with church service. And that prompted him to give the sermon he gave yesterday, God Gives Us His Power to Change. And Mr. D'Alessandro explained that if people are bored, they need to have a revival. We don't like to use that term because it's Protestant, but a revival, meaning he's saying that we need to pray, we need to study, we need to spend time fasting and drawing closer to God so that church service won't become a boring thing that we engage in. Because certainly the world outside doesn't offer us any options. God gives us the best option. These two great gifts of God, forgiveness and the Holy Spirit, result in righteousness and peace and joy. And better, they lead to the greatest gifts of all, eternal life. The hope of eternal life takes away the fear of death. There is nothing else that compares. In Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, where the Holy Spirit is, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are listed: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. As we look at these fruit of the Spirit and the relationship of peace to all of these other virtues have come through the Spirit of God. Each helped produce and maintain the other. When we consider the contrast between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, that's our human nature. In Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21, they are hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, and revelry. All of these things we see in our society today, outbursts of wrath, violence, and all kinds of evil. The NIV, pardon me, the Holman Study Bible, the New King James Version, comment on verse 19 to 21. The flesh is usually understood as the sinful nature of mankind that continues even after a person becomes a Christian. When the desire of the flesh has the upper hand and the works of the flesh are obvious. Peace and harmony comes to those who extend it to others. Paul wrote in Romans 12 and verse 18, if it is possible, as much as is dependent upon you, live peaceably with all men. We are called to be peacemakers, following the example of the supreme peacemaker. Pray that God will make it possible for his people to lead a quiet and peaceful life. Pray for peace of mind. Pray for peaceful relationship. And pray for God's peaceful kingdom to come soon. Paul's admonition, a warning in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Excuse me. Philippians 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which suppresses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The Revised Standard Version beautifully summarized the subject. In Philippians 4, verse 7, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 3, and verse 12 and 13, Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13. It addresses the character of the new man. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 15. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. As I conclude, Christ will one day soon return to this earth. and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's from Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Two closing points. Peace and harmony comes to those who extend it to others. Number two, we are called to be peacemakers by following the example of the Supreme Peacemaker.